This episode is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, and they have plenty of wireless plans to choose from, like the $45 Silver Unlimited plan with unlimited high-speed data, 5G coverage, and no contract. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Learn more at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
How much care do you put into your eye care? We all put so much into what we eat, how we exercise, and skincare. That one's huge. But when our eyes are dry and irritated, a lot of us aren't doing as much as we could. That's why BioTrue Hydration Boost Eye Drops are here to provide instant moisture, because your eyes deserve it. And with no preservatives and naturally inspired ingredients like an antioxidant, electrolyte, hyaluronan, your tear zone moisturizer, BioTrue is eye care that cares about your eyes.
Roark Honda has a tracking process in which you receive your vehicle in a timely manner. Once the perfect CRV, HRV, or other vehicle is selected and ordered, the reliable rep will continuously track its whereabouts to keep you updated.
If that isn't elite customer service, what is? Visit Roark.com for all of your vehicle needs. And now it is the 2022 Porch Tour number 4, but stop number 2 at Brighton Heights. John, I'm calling this one a Brighton Heighten of Hollywood chatter. Boom.
Nice. And it's sponsored by People's Gas.
Sponsored by People's Gas.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the... out of you.
Yeah, jagoff.
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
Hey, it's Rick Seaback.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Antonio Holmes.
And this is the You Jagoff Podcast.
If you're listening to the podcast for the very first time, that you subscribe to it. If you're on iTunes, we would ask that you leave a comment to make us look good, because we hang those things up on our refrigerators. But we're on Odyssey, and thanks to Odyssey, that we get to appear on the Kelly 100.7 Afternoon Drive Show around 4:55, where we talk about the talk of the town.
And our new thing with Alista, instead of doing Jagoff of the Week, we are putting a parking chair on places that you need to go. There's so many new places in Pittsburgh, and everybody's talking about them in a different way, so why shouldn't we? So we get to talk to E about all these great places.
And coming soon, Jagoff of the Week on Y108.
That's right. So all over the radio.
So this is our podcast. Dun, dun, dun. This is our fireplace tour. In the summer, we did a porch tour, and we go around, and we have a party, we take a band, we take games, we take food, and we said, we love this so much, let's do a fireplace tour. But we're very selective at the fireplaces, because we want cool fireplaces.
So kudos to Nicole Driscoll, who is a longtime fan and dear friend of ours, because we were like, we actually have January 29th open, and she turned it around with these guys. How
right.
exciting is that?
So we dialed up our friend Ernie Ritchie and said, Ernie, please, tomorrow, can we have sausage? And he's like, yes, of course. So the homeowners that we do for the fireplace tour get Ernie Ritchie sausage. Woo! Can I get, woo?
Yeah, can I get a woo?
All right.
Yeah.
Mancini's rolls. They get your Jagoff beer from North Country Brewing.
Yep.
They get a package of food mixes from Mary Mac Bakehouse.
She mails them. That's right. Yep.
And we get some People's Gas hats and water.
And some giftables from Yin's Lids and Sinbin Creations.
Right. So that's, see? So it's not just about John and Rachel showing up to try to mooch a free breakfast.
Yeah.
It's really about this. So, all right, so our guests are this week. We have a really cool lineup, because we didn't know this before we started booking the guests, but two of our guests are actually somewhat interrelated in a TV production style. So Carl Kurlander is going to be here to talk about. He has a lot of things going on in the film industry, but he, Louis Anderson, as we know, just passed, and he was very, very close to him. So we have him coming to talk about that.
Interesting stuff about him. And we've had his brother Tom on quite a bit. He was becoming that like Saturday Night Live guy on our podcast a lot. And along with him is Rick Steigerwald. So that'll be a lot of fun. But before we go to our other guests, we get to talk to John and Larry and Lauren. And I, you know, I've sort of known them, and I hold them in Brighton Heights royalty, because I, of course, was born and raised here in Brighton Heights. And I know that they are part of California Cycle Path. You've heard me talk about this.
I know.
I confided in Lauren why I'm not going there anymore. You know,
listen, I will probably admit that I walk by to eating a scone while they're in there. I hear them go, let's go, let's go. And we hear them in there.
Oh,
and
they're
going,
intense.
I'm eating a scone, fat guy.
Oh, they're so intense. They're intense.
Anyway.
But, you know, in all seriousness, we saw John a couple of times, like we said, at our favorite, seriously, that is our favorite coffee place. We love it there for the acai bowl, but for their coffee as well. And we've seen him there and we've said, hey, we have to do a podcast. And unfortunately, with everything else, COVID hit and it was like, okay, how are we doing things? But now you guys are back. You're doing more and more. I need everybody to know about you guys because everybody talks about fitness and everybody has their own fitness routine. And my son, who is super fit and I sort of don't know where he came from, talks about how January often is the month where people make their resolutions and they join and then you don't see them come, what, February, whatever. Is that what you've seen? And tell us of why your place is so unique. Don't argue over it, guys. All right. Go for it.
Yeah. So typically in January, we see a big boost of people coming into the gym. And we're very fortunate. We have a strong member base that sticks with us. So they stick with us throughout the year. A lot of them are local to Brighton Heights community, but we have a lot of people coming from other communities, which is great. Yeah. So we're seeing a big boost and we've actually been able to grow this last past month with an additional space.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So tell us a little bit about, oh, good. You were going to.
Well, I was going to say, John, you and I always do the, in Pittsburgh, it's where such and such used to be. But really, it's right down from Tom Friday's, which is a staple in Pittsburgh. You know, seriously. Why Brighton Heights?
Well, John and I moved here in 2006, and we loved the neighborhood. And we actually used to go to a gym in East Liberty when we moved here. So we used to drive out there every day and then come back. And we were like, how cool would it be if our community had a gym that was accessible to them? And so we decided there was a – back in the day, there was a daycare down on California Avenue. It had closed and the space was empty. And so we decided to open our own gym in our community because we lived a block away.
Okay. So. And you both have – real jobs, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. And then you're running it. Yeah. Yes. This is crazy. And it opened in 2013, Lauren said.
Yeah.
So then Lauren, talk about how Lauren kind of came in because you were an attendee.
Right. So I'll take a step back. I'm also from, I've lived in Brighton Heights for 13 years. I've grown up always north of Pittsburgh, generally speaking, but I didn't know John and Larry until they opened California Cycle Path. And when I saw that someone was opening a boutique cycle studio in Brighton Heights, I thought they were out of their minds.
Really?
So, yeah, I did. And, you know, I went there and then I realized they know what they're doing. And they've created such an amazing...
When you say I know what they're doing, what is it? What resonates with people about them?
I think what's really special about the studio is the community and just the feel, the welcoming feel that you get. We really have a wide range of clientele in terms of fitness levels, among other things, but it's just a very welcoming environment, and it's not some place where you go and you feel intimidated or challenged that people are trying to compete with you, but rather that people are trying to help you and help you improve.
Yeah, yeah. So do you have, for the gym part of it, do you have a lot? This is like Brighton Heights is kind of like a walking neighborhood. There's not everything here, but it's pretty close. But as far as, do a lot of your clients walk and then walk home, or are they driving on their way to work? What do you guys typically, or on their way home from work?
I think most people drive.
Okay.
I mean, I live 10 blocks from the studio, and I've driven there every single time except twice. And I can tell you it was because the one time my car wouldn't start and the one time I locked my house keys in my car and my car keys in my house.
Yeah.
So I drive.
Okay. Fair enough. Right. And there's good parking, to be honest.
But parking is good. Yeah. And we have a lot of people that do head straight into work. Most of our classes are in the early morning or in the evening, and that we do cater to people who work a general 9-to-5 schedule, though we do have some lunchtime classes. And as you said, we do all have real jobs.
Yeah, right.
So we
Which
have
is great.
To work around that.
Yeah,
so we work around that.
Yeah, and we have classes start at 5 a.m., which is unusual for a gym. So we start out at 5 a.m. in the morning. So we're down there at 4 a.m. getting ready, to open up.
Wow.
And believe it or not, our 5 a.m. classes are our busiest classes. So.
Is that right? Yeah, that would be us, right? Yeah.
I just looked at Colin. I was let's go.
Listen, we're sitting here thinking this sounds so good because it's literally walking distance. But we actually did a podcast with a band and everything from a kickboxing place over in Kennedy Township.
Nice.
And that day we prepaid for 18 lessons. Guess how many we've gone to? Zero.
I was going to say, you probably blew through all of them, right?
No. Yeah, well, and we had the best intentions, but life gets in the way, and so does Mancini's and pizza and beers. But yes, we do have to go in and we have to try we have to go do a Jagged Around video with it.
Well, and as you know, I have been there. I mean, I'm full disclosure. Yeah. I have gone and not gone and gone and not gone. And that's why I'm saying, like, this needs to kick me in the ass and say, let's do this again.
So here's my thing is I don't mind going to a gym, but I get I hate people seeing me. Like, that's why I would go running in the old days, because I wouldn't run with anybody. If I swam, I would swim in a pool when nobody was around. I just hate working out because, you know, you fart, you do all this stuff, and I don't want to. So what, you know, what's this like?
I don't fart.
Yeah, right.
She's lying.
No. Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Larry.
I got to tell you, we truly are a non-judge environment.
Yeah.
I get to, everybody that goes there is like family. And if I get to tell you, when we get someone new that comes in, I can't tell you how many times someone will reach out, even they don't even know them, and they'll say, hey, you know, like, or help them out, or, you know, or encourage them to go on. And it truly is a completely judge-free environment. I mean, we have people that have never worked out before, and we have people that work out, you know, we have people that come, actually, we have some, our top client comes 30 days out of the month. Wow. I mean, truly, and that's not an exaggeration. It's crazy.
Do you give fuel perks?
We do give perks.
We do give perks. So, some of the perks that you get as a member basically is one, if you hit 100 workouts, you get a 100 workout t-shirt free. But you get that when you get 100 workouts in within the year. But the other thing that we do as perks is every time they purchase something within the studio, they get perks like fuel perks or whatever it may be.
Okay.
They get perks that they can use in the gym for supplements or anything like that. And then we also have a new client introduction offer, which helps the community also.
Includes
because,
one of these water bottles.
Yes, right. You get a water bottle.
I'm sorry. Price is writing it.
Yeah, right? You get a water bottle free. And then you get your new introductory client offer, which is $20 for 2 weeks on limited classes, and we donate a portion of it to the food bank.
Oh, so, I love that. I did just read that. That's great. Yeah.
So that brings in people.
And you guys can elaborate a little bit more, but what I remember, and then going to your website, I recalled, it's not just a gym. I'm not clarifying to you, but, you know, it's the fact that they have TRX. They do cycling. They literally are figuring out what people want to do so that it's multiple ways of kind of seeing who you need to hit, right?
Right, and it gives them a lot of options. So yeah. It's not like the gym you're going into every day and you have to do the same class every day. Every class is actually ran by an instructor, and there's at times where we have five classes at one time going on. So you can do cycling, TRX, weightlifting, you can do HIIT boxing, and you can also do rowing. They all go on at the same time.
Do
so that's how many rowing? Options you have.
I saw you wanted to try rowing.
Yeah.
Lauren, talk about the cowbell, what you were talking to me about prior to coming on.
Oh, so I think
more it's, cowbell.
More cowbell.
Yeah, more cowbell. Yeah. That's a good one.
Oh, God.
I think the kettlebell format is the most recent we've added to our repertoire, so to speak. But it's called Kettlebell Amped, and it's actually a choreographed kettlebell class. So it is strength-based in that you're working with a kettlebell. But with the choreography, you're kind of dancing around with the kettlebell. No, don't let me scare anyone away with the dancing part. I can't dance to save my life.
Same.
But it Elaine has Bettis. A lot of fun moves, a lot of fun choreography. It's upbeat.
Yeah.
And you almost forget that you're working hard and, you know, working up a sweat, getting in a workout. But I was amazed. The weights that they recommended that we used were fairly on the lighter side, in my opinion. But after doing it, I realized with the high repetition, it's very challenging, but it's fun.
This
it's
is where we cue
fun.
The confetti and say, John and Rachel are going to do it.
Yeah.
We're going to do it. Dun, 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 dun.
Another failed resolution.
Yeah.
At least
I'm
the
serious.
Cycles are in
it.
Your yeah. place and my jeans can't hang on them. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, we really want to do that. All right, so you guys are from Brighton Heights, and we have somebody here to talk about Brighton Heights, but so as we wind up this party, we know about CyclePath, we know about California Coffee. You have to go there because you go to CyclePath and go to coffee, go get coffee, amped up, and go over to CyclePath, whatever you want to do. But if I was new to Brighton Heights, where would each of you take me? What would you make sure I saw in Brighton Heights?
You go first, Lauren.
Oh, way to put me on
They
the
threw
spot.
You under the bus.
They did. Well, they both turned to you.
Yeah. If it's Christmas time and you want to see the house with the most beautiful Christmas lights, I would drive by John and Larry's house.
Yeah.
Honestly speaking.
So true.
I would take people to the main street of Brighton Heights just because I think it has evolved so much in the 13 years that I've lived in Brighton Heights proper. We had a bit to do with that here, the California CyclePath Group and taking over some of the storefronts, but it has evolved a lot with the addition of the coffee shop. Tom Fridays is always so busy on a Saturday morning, and it's just neat to see it as its own little bustling town.
I agree. I love it.
Everyone is friendly, saying hello, and it's just a nice place to experience to go out on the main street and just see what's going on.
I agree with you. And I would piggyback on that by saying that all the businesses on the street kind of partner with each other a little bit. Yeah. Because, like, for example, like as you mentioned earlier, people come work out. They go to California Coffee Bar for healthy breakfast, whatever it may be, coffee. And then Tom Friday's also, if you're watching carbs and you're on keto diet, we recommend, you know, his fresh beef all the time. So we all kind of partner off each other, which is great.
All right.
Where does everybody find you? Because I'm sorry, Larry.
Mine's Tom Fridays. He's a hidden gem.
Such a good answer.
I mean, he is a hidden gem in the city. I mean, truly, really amazing place. I mean, small store fill, family. I mean, Tom is a super sweet guy.
He is a great guy.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that.
Step back in time and courtesy.
It is. No question.
Everybody needs to live in Brighton Heights.
Yep. All right. Oh, so we have a question of the day that you guys always have. Everybody has to answer. And if you bail out, Rachel like hits people.
There's no multiple choice.
You're not allowed to option out.
No, but where does everybody find you? Because I encourage you, please go to their website so that you can see all that is offered. We would need an entire 2-hour segment just to talk to them about all the things that are happening in California Cycle Path, from all the classes that are available, as well as the times, because you're open just about every day, right?
We are 7 days a week.
Seven days a week. Boom. So where does everybody find you?
So I'll start by saying
it's your turn, Lauren.
This is going to be a collaborative answer. So our website is californiacyclepath.com. Mm-hmm. So you can start there. That's a great place to get some general information. But there's also quite a social media presence. And I need to hand that over to John because he is our social media
guru. You can follow us on social media. On Instagram, it's at California Cycle Path, and on TikTok as well. And we're also on Twitter. I don't use Twitter as much, but the Instagram and TikTok are great places to follow us and see any updates on events and things that are going on or promoting.
He even mentioned us on his story. I don't know if you saw it.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I did not.
So there you go. All right. If you guys, you know, we're talking about New Year's resolutions. And like we said, this is one of the biggest things. And we don't want people to give up on fitness. So if you were to go to a gym or pick up your favorite class, who would be the one person, living or dead, that you would want to work out with? And it doesn't have to be a famous, like, don't say each other, though, then, because that's just too gooey.
No.
We don't want love and stuff.
I think Dolly Parton would be mine, because she would make me laugh. I mean, I would have such a good time with her.
That's a really good answer. Yeah. I would pick Will Ferrell. Not that anyone asked, but same thing. I pick Will Ferrell for everything. He is also my person, just in case my husband doesn't work out.
Which is the craziest thing ever, because she's not, so literal.
I'm super literal. Go ahead, John. Who's yours?
Oh, well, it'd be between two. Beyonce and Lady Gaga would be working out with
Wow.
Her.
I could not. I couldn't. They're too. They'd be too good. Go ahead, Lauren.
I have to play the mom card, I apologize for that, but my mom passed away about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And my mom was very into fitness and is a lot of my inspiration for why I pursued fitness. However, we kind of missed each other on it in that I did absolutely nothing active until I think after graduate school. And my mom, unfortunately, had a neurological disorder that made it so that she couldn't be as active as she had been previously. And that's about the time that I started being active. So I regret that she never got to take one of my classes, just because I could have, you know, really called her out and harassed her and had a lot of fun with that.
That's a great answer.
I do have to just give my mom a shout out, and that she's really my inspiration and also a lot of the reason why I'm involved with California Cycle Path in the capacity that I am.
That's a great answer.
And that reminded me, it's my mom's birthday, so shout out to my mom.
Happy birthday!
I love it.
I wasn't born to travel, I was born to run away. Any place I end up, I probably won't stay. But I wasn't born to break hearts.
So, John, you know, I always do this to you, but the reason Joe is on here, and I know him. How about that?
I know him. Santa.
So, you know, as you have said, Brighton Heights is the community where people, it is so growing. I am definitely biased because I grew up here, but he has been one of the people instrumental since, I believe, the late 1960s when this became a nonprofit. But he's helped heighten it so that people know this is a neighborhood where you want to live, and not just live, but raise a family. And so Brighton Heights Citizens Federation is really helping do that. So welcome to Joe.
Welcome, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, all right. So, I mean, let's get right to it here. Brighton Heights, I moved here. It's so close to where I grew up. It's so close to where I work at the your Jagoff headquarters, world headquarters.
He works for my house, Joe. That's all. And I'm in Ross Township. And, it's 8 minutes.
And it's so close to Mancini's Bread, so close to Tom Friday's. So it's really kind of perfect. And it's urban, but it still has that neighborhood feel. So tell me about your familiarity. Or if you were selling us a house down here, what do you sell us on as far as Brighton Heights?
Probably the housing stock and the location.
Okay.
That's probably the best thing. And people really caught fire when our neighborhood caught fire is people just really raved about the community feel and the location and the housing stock. They're beautiful homes as we sit here in John and Larry's living room. It's just beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. So you're not from here.
I'm a lifelong resident of Brighton Heights. Yeah.
I thought so. I was like, let me go that way.
But you said you're not from here.
I know, but I said it to see what he would say. That's what I'm saying. I thought.
She was testing you.
No, I knew that you were around. I actually didn't know if you were directly here, but I knew you were around here. What was it for you that was like, I want to stay here? Because let's face it, people like me who grew up here say, well, I don't know if I want to stick out, let's be honest, the school system or, you know, the fact that it didn't change right away. What made you want to stick it out?
I think just the positivity in the neighborhood, particularly in Brighton Heights, and then the parks. There's a lot of different activities
point.
More so in the city, and there's opportunities in the diversity of the neighborhoods for my family, my kids to be at and realize that there's all walks of life here, you know.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's like old home week for me because I grew up in McKees Rocks and my grandparents were in Bellevue, so we were always traipsing through Brighton Heights. And I always knew about Tom Fridays and things like that. But I like you, I really enjoy going out for a walk and going to see the houses like along Terman and things like that. The older houses that have been flipped, like this one, not flipped, but redone. It's incredible. And like, what's the history of Brighton Heights? You know, we talked last week about McKees Rocks a little bit. It was where the rich people lived. The Woolies had a mansion in McKees Rocks. You know, what's the history of,
well, kind
of the
same,
Brighton
right?
Heights? You know, similar
yeah.
to that.
From what I've heard is like this, similar with Manchester all the way up through the north side. And I think the most affluential individuals in the city history were down on like the Mexican War Streets.
Yeah.
Those were your really most prestigious.
I mean,
those were your highest political figures and business people, but mostly in Manchester and Brighton Heights, they said it was a middle to upper working class residence. And a lot in that time when these houses were being built.
How much care do you put into your eye care? We all put so much into what we eat, how we exercise, and skincare. That one's huge. But when our eyes are dry and irritated, a lot of us aren't doing as much as we could. That's why BioTrue Hydration Boost Eye Drops are here to provide instant moisture. Because your eyes deserve it. And with no preservatives and naturally inspired ingredients like an antioxidant, electrolyte, hyaluronan, your tears on moisturizer, BioTrue is eye care that cares about your eyes.
A lot of immigrants, a lot of different churches. It was a lot of community through the church groups, a lot of different religious groups and churches that really held that heritage and different things that came over from the immigrants that came here and settled here.
It would be really easy for me to basically read to you what your mission statement is, right? Because I'm on your website, I'm looking at that. But what would you explain if someone said, well, what do you do as the president?
Well, as the president, I ask people, I listen to the people. You know, when you're in a position like this, representing the community, the best thing you can do is listen to the people because they just want someone, a lot of times they want people to hear them and put something in play that they're asking for. So I represent individuals in the neighborhood, but I also listen to them. And through that, when we listen, we can create different activities, events,
right.
And initiatives that really will benefit what in our statement is the health, welfare, and advancement through what we have here to offer in Brighton Heights.
That's a really good answer because what I knew it to be, you know, again, when I lived here a lot of years ago, it has come such a long way. And especially what I noticed, and again, just through a website, but not living it the way you do. I love the fact that you have a business directory. So to me, that tells me, wow, this is booming. If you have a directory in which you can say, oh, hey, go look at this. Is that because of the work that you hit on it with listening? What is it that they're wanting and how are you kind of bridging that? And I could read some of the things. You do the house tour that you guys are so well known for. You have the Christmas tree lighting at Legion Park, which I think is absolutely amazing. You have Team Pittsburgh that you partner with now, which is full disclosure how I know him, you know, through Tracy as well. But what is it about the listening and the growth of the businesses that you're seeing?
Well, it's like a partnership. You know, we're hand in hand with them, and they're hand in hand with us. You know, when we hold an event or we organize, we'll reach out to them for a volunteer or even sponsorships through donations. And most of the business that we ask for are always willing to enable us, and that's a big part. Specifically, John and Larry. Yeah. I mean, if they not only make it, when we ask them, we call upon them to make a donation, they make the donation so willingly. I mean, as well as getting their hands dirty and coming in person and volunteering. We do two cleanups, neighborhood street cleanups twice a year. They're out there cleaning up garbage, you know. So not only do they say, "Yeah, we'll cut the check," but they're coming out and they're doing the work too. They're
and their house
the
looks beautiful.
If you had if you had one choice of what's a gem, the hidden gem, like we know Tom Friday is here, we know those guys are here. Is there a house? Is there a street? What's the hidden gem that you know of in Brighton Heights?
Hidden gem. So I want to say Riverview Park, but that's not really in Brighton Heights.
It's not, but really.
It's right in the bordering neighborhood.
I did not realize that. Well,
but it's going to be so accessible, and I'll answer the question. But we're in the works now on the planning with the city of Pittsburgh. The city's getting ready to rebuild the Davis Avenue Bridge, formerly a traffic bridge. We worked through different arms of the state for different grants in the city capital budget to get a plan to drafted to introduce a new bike and pedestrian bridge, which is going to break ground in 2023. And that's really going to increase a lot of accessibility right to Riverview Park for residents right here in Brighton Heights.
Tell me, being a former Brighton Heights person, what is Brighton Heights from where to where? Like, how could people understand it?
Right. And most people, sometimes what I have to do is tell them I live in Brighton Heights is I'll say, do you know where Bellevue is?
Sure.
You know where McKees Rocks Bridge is?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll start with that.
Yeah.
That's the main thing I tell them is, you know, so we're as far north as you can go, but still be in the city of Pittsburgh.
Great point.
We border Ross Township, which is a suburb. We border Bellevue right up against, you know, the margins of the city of Pittsburgh. And then to our a little bit more to our south, we border going down in towards town, up towards like Perrysville Avenue, up towards 279, 579.
Is Little Sisters of the Poor in Brighton Heights?
It is.
Okay,
it
still is. Going
it's one of your
far.
Claims to fame. Okay. There's your gem.
That is a good one. Little Sisters of the Poor. And I worked there. I was a dishwasher when I was 16.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my
so
God.
To work with the sisters, the nuns and stuff, I mean, that is a retirement home that has a lot of heart, lot of love.
No question.
They do exceptional things up there as far as their volunteer work and outreach and the care that they provide. It's just a lot of love.
Doesn't it make you want to live here?
I do.
First of all, where does everybody find Brighton Heights Citizens Federation?
No, you can't switch it up on me. I already heard it.
It's similar. It's similar, Joe.
I tried to cheat. I was going to say Yarmer Yager. But
okay, you're fine.
No,
where does everybody
find? I still want the new question.
All right.
So where does everyone find us? Okay, our website, definitely check in on brightonheights.org. You can find out when we have community meetings. You can find out our initiatives, our full committee list, ways to get involved, ways to donate. Things about the neighborhood if you wanted to move here. Everything's on brightonheights.org. And then also our Facebook page at Brighton Heights Citizens Federation. That's our Facebook page. We post new things, opportunities that are available, services from the city, all kinds of things, all things Brighton Heights and city.
I love it. We have to talk to you about, you know, we work with a little place called Modular International.
Good
peeps from there. the question was going to stay the same. I was just going to move to a different walk of life. Instead of working out with, who would you want to kind of walk around and pick up all the debris? And it's going to stay the same, right?
Yeah. Who would I want to clean up?
You said Yarmer Yager.
I mean, Yarmer Yager.
You want to work out with him.
Yeah, I'd work out with Yarmer Yager. Right. Who would I really want to clean up with?
Yeah.
It's got to be someone that used to be Pittsburgh.
While you're thinking, I'll tell you, John and I interviewed Yarmer Yager, and it was a big... But
yeah,
go ahead.
I'd probably work out with him, but it doesn't seem like the most social.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Maybe like a former mayor, like Tom Murphy.
Oh, that's a good answer. Tom Murphy's a good answer.
I think he was cool. I was real young, and it always seemed like good times when he was in. So.
He was a good dude. Yeah, I remember him. Joe, thank you so much. On the run.
And after everyone I left, you think I would give up? Swallow some old pill that says the restless do not love. After I've been hurt, you think I'd hesitate to try.
All right, so, Grace, this is pretty cool because, you know, we don't consider ourselves a breaking news, you Jagoff podcast, but we have kind of breaking news, which is pretty cool. So we came to Brighton Heights, and then Ryan O'Shea, who is a friend of the podcast, told us about Rich. and Steigerwald. Rick Steigerwald. You just told me that too.
I know.
Rick Steigerwald and a cool story that he has. And then we heard Carl Kurlander on the DV Morning Show talking about Louis Anderson. Plus, Carl has been involved in so many initiatives of bringing Pittsburgh filmmakers, people who left and went to California and now are be able to come back and bring their costume design and scene design and things like that. There are special effects companies right here. So here we are. Guys, welcome to the Jagoff Podcast.
It's an honor.
Yeah.
Was that a good
honor, but an honor.
I mean, if that wasn't an intro, but you know, you mark on some, you get on something really important. We've been so lucky to work with the Pittsburgh Film Office, and watching what the Pittsburgh Film Office has done is completely crazy. But you're in that realm as well. I mean, just the opportunities.
Well, it's not a coincidence, and this is a long story, but I accidentally moved back here for a year.
Yes.
I was living above Sunset Strip, and I had a two-year-old daughter who liked to dance naked on the coffee table. As a
who
joke,
didn't?
My wife wanted to move to the Valley, but living above the Sunset Strip, that could be a job. So we came back here to teach for Pitt, and ironically, I was writing a book with Louis Anderson at the time, and I ended up on Oprah. I said how happy I was living in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and Pittsburgh went bankrupt, everything went to hell, Mr. Rogers died. And then I wrote an article saying our biggest export isn't steel, it's talent. And in 2003, there were no movies coming here,
right,
but we brought back a bunch of people. And then later, a guy from Lionsgate, and subsequently, Don and many other people have worked to build the entertainment industry here.
Yes.
But really, what I've been trying to do through Pitt is turn all that export into import and jobs here. Because the truth is, when we did this in 2007, we changed the tax credit. Atlanta is now the biggest place for people to shoot movies and TV shows.
Okay.
That could be Western Pennsylvania, but we need to do a few things. Don would say uncap the tax credit.
Sure.
But also develop a local workforce, because still people come in from New York and L.A. I know you had Chris Strollo on the podcast.
Yes, yes.
When I first moved back here, Louis and I, we did a documentary called My Tale Two Cities, and Louis was, he was ragging on me, or as you'd say, Jagoff. I was talking about how this wasn't a Roger and me, it was a Mr. Rogers and me, and Louis looked at the camera and he goes, what the, and then he used a lot of profanity.
Sure.
How long have you been waiting to use that line? But and Louis is from Minneapolis, which was thriving when Pittsburgh was dying, but now the movies are a big part of our economy, and could be even a bigger part. So,
but Carl, who would have thought? I mean,
we thought. What happened is at the Ramiro, the summit, wonderful woman Ellen Weiss-Kander, George
sure.
Ramiro met my friend Bernie Goldman, who had produced 300.
Yes.
And he said he has Land of the Dead script. I said, well, why aren't we making it? And he goes, well, no one in Pittsburgh invests in scripts. We didn't have tax credits. George went to Canada. And then I know you had Chris Strollo on. We brought a project called Don't Think About It, R.L. Stine. And that was when Chris Strollo, who was a sound guy for my documentary.
Oh, wow.
He worked. That was his first time. He bought his own gear.
I do remember here. Yes, yes.
And so that. And then Lionsgate brought Kill Point, the series here.
Yeah.
And so the weird thing is, you know, Louis was very nurturing about local talent. And we know from Rick, there's millions of stories here. But usually other people come and, you know, August Wilson wrote 10 plays about Pittsburgh, and
yep.
Denzel's putting in all this money, and he'd like to use local diverse work crew. But you got to train people, and Pittsburghers are just now realizing, wait, these are jobs, not just things that we should go, oh, we know so-and-so, or so-and-so's from
that's
Pittsburgh.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. So that's what we've been trying to
do. So, Carl, just go for a little bit of short background. You co-wrote St. Elmo's Fire. Were you also, was it Saved by the Bell? You had something there as well?
I grew up in Pittsburgh. Right. I was a nerdy kid. I had a crush on a waitress at the St. Elmo Hotel in Chautauqua, New York. She's from Pittsburgh. Her name's Lynn Snyderman. She still lives a few blocks from me. I was too shy to talk to her, so I mailed her the short story, and that got me a scholarship to Universal. And then I got gazpacho with no croutons, no sour cream, and top deck on the side for a guy named Joel Schumacher, who was doing DC Cab with Mr. T. That movie kind of tanked, and then he turned to me and said, what's this movie you got? And we wrote the movie, the final movie we ended up writing together, and it shot 10 blocks. Lynn had moved to DC, and we shot 10 blocks from our house. And Andy McDowell played her. So
isn't that crazy, right?
I mean, just
crazy.
Andy McDowell.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
No.
Yeah.
No, you think that's crazy. When I went out to Hollywood, my grandmother said, what are you going out there? No one makes it. You're crazy. Then when I moved back to Pittsburgh, she said, what are you coming back here? Everything's dying. You're crazy. So I keep thinking, this is probably the craziest thing I've done. So.
And Rick, what about so let's talk about your background. And you have this TV show
Well, let's start
thing.
With, he's a Northsider.
Oh,
okay. So let's start there.
So
he has a lot of stories that he could tell you about
so,
the neighborhoods.
You know, I'm an interloper. I'm a carpetbagger, I guess you'd say. I'm claiming to be from the north side
you
now.
Don't wanna be.
There you go, right. There you go. I was close, though. I grew up in...
There's only two sides, John.
Yeah.
The north side and the outside.
I grew up so close to McKees Rocks, it's only one bridge away. So not close enough.
You know, it's been a while since I've been down this way. And when I first pulled in, there was two chairs parked in front of the house. And so I moved the chairs and I parked. And I hear say, "Hey, Jagoff." That's my parking spot.
It happens, right? You're used to that. So talk about the affiliation. I mean, your story that's so cool is he said Ryan O'Shea told us. But ultimately, that story got you so many different things. And you met Carl because of it. Is that correct?
That's where it started. It started with Carl. I'm a steam fitter by trade. And I was on a job. And I always read the one ads. And in these one ads was a little section right there that says, if you want to learn how to write a script, come to Pitt. Carl Carlander is going to put a thing.
There you
That's
go.
That's how we met in the like Penny Saver ads?
Wow. It just cheapened the whole show right now, right?
Yeah. It was in the Post-Gazette.
Okay.
Because I read them every day, you know, in case of motorcycle parts, whatever. And so I went home and I said to my wife, I said, "Hey, I'm going to write a script about that." She goes, "You barely got out of English." I said, "So what? A lot of them guys can't speak English either. So I'll look it up." So anyhow, I said, "I'm going to this thing." She said, "No, you're not." I said, "Yes, I am." It's 7 o'clock at night. I go out there. I go in. It's in this big auditorium. And now I'm thinking, like, I might be able to do this. Until he starts talking about what you need to do. And I was like, uh-oh. So I thought, what's the next best thing? When it was break time, or I think the end of it, he was in the back shaking hands with everybody. I went up, told him, I said, "I have a story." He said, "Tell me a little bit about it." I told him a little bit about it. He said, "Stop right there." He walks in the other room. He gets these two young kids, baby face kids, walks back out, and he goes, "Listen to this story, write a script."
Wait, Ryan O'Shea is one of the baby face kids.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Good kid.
Okay. By the way, I remember him attacking me because everyone, when you're a screenwriter, goes, "Oh, I have a story for you." And Pittsburgh has many great stories to tell.
Of course.
But believe me, there's many people who think they have a great story that's not going to work.
Right.
Yeah. You want to hear this story?
Yes.
So then he goes, "Oh, yeah, no, I'll tell you this story about how I showered with the Steelers." I'm like, "What?" And that's how I'm like,
"Okay,
here
we
hold
go.
On a second." And then from the crazy story, he's like, "No, I snuck into the, well, you're going to tell the story, I assume."
Yeah.
But it was one of the most amazing stories. And I said, "Wait, Ryan, hold on. This is a..." And Ryan wrote a fantastic script. It's a great story. And, you know, now, of course, Randall Park and Ed Helms have said it's a great story. So
tell the story.
Well, if you remember, we put it in Steel City. They wrote it and we put it in Steel City in his thing. But they said $30,000 you wouldn't be able to do this with. But all his writers he brought in to check all them scripts wrote so many great things about the character, about the story, but that wouldn't be enough money to do it. So,
just for clarification back to that, but we should get to his story. Hopefully you have a good editor, but that said, I did when I first came back here when I wrote that article saying the biggest export's talent, not steel. The Hillman family started a nonprofit for me with Ellen White's Candor called Steel Town.
Yes.
Which is now, everything I was doing there is now at Pitt. I've always taught at Pitt.
Okay.
Now, Pitt has a robust production program,
yes,
a lot of community outreach. So yeah, we give money, we're still giving money for short films. But this is a story I said, and believe me, I hear a lot of them. I'm like, "Oh my God, and I don't know how much time you have. You better get to the story." But bottom line is the guy snuck in to shower with the Pittsburgh Steelers during their heyday. You going to tell the story
so
now?
So it's 1979. We and my brothers, we went to all the games. And so, you know, Northsiders, we're not paying if we don't have to. So we get down to every game. We got in that stadium, three-row stadium, every way you can. We climbed in. We lifted the fence up. 20 guys would run over. 10 would hold the fence. 10 would go under, hold the fence. 10 more would go under. Now we're in the game. So what happened was that year we went to every game for free, and then we went to the playoffs for free. And then my brother called me up a couple days later and says, "Hey, you want to go to the Super Bowl down in Miami?" I was like, "Yeah." So anyhow, we ran a big up. There was four of us. It was all Stagwells, me and my two brothers, John and Kurt, and then my cousin Mike. Then it was another Winnebago with Northside guys who absolutely wrecked and trashed the thing. We get down there. We're in, you know, Pittsburgh kids in Florida. You can imagine, right?
Yeah.
Sunshine.
Right?
palm trees, beach. So we get down there and blah, blah, blah. I had made a grappling hook. We had already planned on climbing in the stadium. So I'm a steamfitter. I'm a welder. Okay, I made a grappling hook.
I love it.
The first one I made was too heavy, and I couldn't get it up high enough, and it almost hit me in the head. So I made a smaller one out of stainless steel, almost like Batman's. And so I had the rope with the knots. I had it in the Gerber's bag. If anybody remembers Gerber's, where you shopped at? And I had it in the Gerber's bag. So we drive down there. I said to my brothers, probably around 2.5 hours before the game, I said, hey, I'm going to go over and check out where we're going to get in. When I get over there, I'm by myself. I got the bag. I'm going to hide in the bushes till we get over there, blah, blah. There's two cops on horses riding around the stadium opposite each other. So I'm timing them to see how long I got to get over there, get up, and get the thing. All of a sudden, out of nowhere.
I'm doing something wrong right now. Go ahead.
Everywhere you know this. People, somebody knows somebody knows somebody from Pittsburgh.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So a guy comes up. He goes, Stag. That was my nickname. Stag, what's up? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm climbing in. He goes, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that with you. So anyhow, just then, the horse and the cop went by. I said, I'm timing these guys. And just as the back end of the horse was going, 20 people ran over and started boosting themselves that I didn't know. I didn't know them. They had the same idea, only a different way of doing it. Uh-huh. They're boosting themselves up. We looked at each other. We said, we better go. So I threw the grappling hook in the bushes. We ran over people we don't even know, boosted us up. We get on the rain ring, and then it was a 12-foot diamond theft defense. I wish I would have taken that grappling hook. So I was one of the only ones out of them 20 people who made it up top. He made it halfway. He was stuck. So I had to lower my leg back down. He grabs onto my leg. I pull him as far as I can. Two old Pittsburgh Steelers fans come down the ramp. They ran over and helped us get him out. So now we get in. We get in the stadium. And there's probably 100 people down there and the cops on horseback. And they're cheering us for getting over the thing. And we're going like,
oh,
this.
My God.
Right? So we go in and he goes, hey, where do you want to sit at? I said, well, if I'm in, and there was hardly anybody in the stadium. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, if I went through all that to get in here, I'm going to sit on the 50-yard line. So we figured out, back then, if you remember, everybody played football. I played for a long time. You had to be enough seats back because the Steelers used to stand on the bench that weren't playing so they could watch the game.
Yeah, that's right.
So I figured it out, measured it up. We went about 50 seats back. We just take these two seats. Ran into another friend down there that had been gone from Pittsburgh, lived around here, Freddie Connors. And I yelled his name. He turned around. It was Freddie. He comes up. He had a bottle of tequila. Now it got interesting. So we start drinking tequila. And next thing you know, the stadium's filling up, blah, blah, blah. It's going on good. Am I still good?
Yeah, you're fine.
So it's going really good. And so Don Shula and his family sitting beside, next across the aisle. Anita Bryant's sitting right in front of me. I mean, I'm in with the group, right? And the next thing you know, it's probably about 5 minutes before the game starts. And we can't believe that nobody else is sitting in them seats. From here, 40 seats.
Yeah.
Two guys wanting to sit down and think. My buddy goes, hey. He goes, there's two guys sitting there. I said, so what? They're down there. Next thing you know, the one guy comes up and he goes, hey. He goes, you guys got tickets. I said, who the F are you? Ticket taker? And he goes, no. He goes, this is from our company in New York. They don't care about the... They just came down to the party. They're not coming. I was like, oh, my man. Thank you. So now I'm calling people that got seats above me.
Oh,
sit, you get it. Sit here. So I got a whole row of people. Bing, bang, boom. Now all kinds of things happen in between. But it gets to near the end of the game. And they're kind of done. And you know how they came back?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Right.
Like in the last 7 minutes, right. I got two touchdowns. We're like, what? Anyhow, my buddy goes, hey, he goes, let's go get the game football. I was like, that's a great idea. So we go down. There's cops every 6 feet facing the crowd, right? And so just then, like we're figuring out how are we going to get this. Just then, of all things, somebody sets off one of them cannons, and everybody ducks. The cops, everybody. It was on the other side of the stage.
This episode is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, and they have plenty of wireless plans to choose from, like the $45 Silver Unlimited plan with unlimited high-speed data, 5G coverage, and no contract. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Learn more at straighttalk.com. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
So when they ducked, poop, I went right underneath. And when that cop turned around, when he turned around, I was right beside him going,
oh, my God. Oh, my God. Right? I have to go to confession.
This is crazy. Yeah. You know, there's a comedian who has a podcast and a book about how he snuck into so many different venues, and the Super Bowl is one of them. You should be on his podcast. Yeah. But the point is that there are so many people that don't know how to do their job well.
As we say in the Jewish religion, though, this would be enough. But as if that wasn't enough,
right?
He ends up in the locker room. Are you going to get to this part?
So I get out there.
Carl's like, let's go.
I get out there. The ball's not there, right?
Yeah.
My buddy didn't make it. He couldn't get under quick enough. He didn't make it. The cop even looked at me. He goes, I get out there, no ball. I look around, and everybody's running underneath the stadium.
Jesus.
I'm like, yeah, I'm going there. So I ran in our stadium. We got all the way to the door. I'm with the media, you know, with all uh-huh. that stuff. And we get all the way to the door, and it was the University of Miami football team. It was the bouncers, you know. They had the orange jacket.
Right.
They said, hey, stop, stop, stop. I thought, okay, it's over, right? He says, we'll let you in as soon as they get settled. I'm like, don't move. You're right here. You're in the middle of this. You might get in here. So anyhow, about 10 minutes later, after everybody got settled, I guess they opened the door and let us in. All I did was, cameraman was going by, and he had his thing right here. I just grabbed his hose.
Oh!
I grabbed his corner.
Oh, my God.
I didn't need hose. Grabbed his corner.
Oh, my.
I walked in, and nobody said nothing. And as soon as I get in there, there's Terry Bradshaw up on a podium.
Oh.
They put them up on a podium so they're not panning around.
Right.
Seeing uh-huh. everybody with their junk out.
Yeah.
So I walk right over to him. Sorry, I'm not.
You're funny. You're fine. It's good.
So I walk over to him. I go, dude, that was the best game I ever seen in my life, right? He looks down at me. He's like, thanks, you know? And I get up, and I was like, okay, I'm done here. I looked down at the end of the thing, and I don't know if you remember him. He lived around here. Jack Delaplane played on the team.
Yeah, right?
Who, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. He was my neighbor.
Oh, my God.
I was in his wedding. Me and my brother John was it, because I was with my brother John and Kirk Donner. But we were in his wedding, right? He married a girl from Newcastle. So next thing you know, he's at the other end of the locker room. He's sitting there, and he's going.
Like how are you here?
So I walked down. There's pandemonium. There's champagne going everywhere. And I walk down, I sit down beside him, and he goes, how the heck did you get in here? I said, you think you're the only superstar in Pittsburgh? And so we're talking like that. Next thing you know, these reporters run up, and they're going, Rick, can we do an interview with you? I'm thinking they're Pittsburgh reporters. And I leaned over to him, and I said, do they know me? I thought from the Golden Gloves, I don't know, right?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. And he goes, no, they think you're Rick Moser. You're in his locker. He left. I said, where's he at? He goes, he left already. He changed his clothes and left. I said, watch this.
Oh, my God.
So I start giving an interview. He goes, and Delaplane's going out loud. I can't believe this, right? So anyhow, one of the reporters says to me, okay, Rick, we really appreciate this. He said, we know you want to take a shower. I was like, shower? I'm
He's like,
I'm gamey from climbing in his joint, and you know, drinking tequila.
Right.
You know, I don't even know what to say.
Nasty on tequila, right?
Right.
So I look over, and there's a cart with a cowboy, and I go, yeah. He goes, can we come back after? Yeah, come up, come back. Delaplane goes, I can't. He's looking up at me. He goes,
this
I can't
is so
believe.
Fantastic.
Right. Next thing you know. So I go in the shower. I go over and I get a towel because I'm a little bit embarrassed in there. These are all 6'8" guys.
Sure.
Right? A little bit. So I get a towel. I take all my clothes off and hang them up, put the towel around me, walk over, go in the locker room. Elsie Greenwood, all these guys are in, Lynn Swan, all these guys. And I just happened to, the shower that was open was by Elsie Greenwood. He's 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of like scrubbing up. And he's looking like, looking down at me like this.
Oh, my God.
And he's looking down at me. And he goes, and I go, oh, this is, I'm thinking to myself, I got to come up with something. And I had known from somebody that Chuck Noll was married to a Stagerwell. And that's my last name.
Oh, God.
And I shook hands with him. I said, Rick Stagerwell. I said, Chuck Noll's nephew. He goes, oh, what's up? He's
oh
patting
my God.
Me on the back.
Oh, my God.
Right? He's introducing me. Chuck Noll's nephew, blah, 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 right? So anyhow, as it turns out, take a shower, come out, Delaplane's gone, right? I'm by myself. I'm standing on the up on the bench. I'm toweling off. All them seven reporters come over. Boom, they're interviewing me again. And I'm telling them whatever I need to tell them. And all of a sudden, Sidney Thornton, remember Sidney Thornton?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He comes walking by, and he stops, and he goes, "Who the hell is that?" Get, you know, me getting interviewed. And I knew right then, I was like, uh-oh.
Busted. You know,
it's going to be, this ain't going to be good. And so I started really trying to get my clothes on. You know, I might even have my socks on. And next thing you know, this little guy comes over, and his name was Tony Parisi. And he's the equipment manager. And he goes, "Hey, who are you? Blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Who are you?" And he goes, "I'm Tony Parisi. I'm the equipment manager." I said, "So?" He goes, "Let's go. You're going to get out." And he went to grab me, and I went like this. You know, I just fainted him a little bit.
Yeah.
He backed off. He says, "I'm going to get security guard." I said, "Get a couple of them." He did. It was the University of Miami line. They were like 360 pounds, 6'8", great big young kids. And they come over, and he's going, "Throw them out like that. Throw them out naked. Throw them out like that." And they go, "Sir, we got this. Go ahead, go." He said, "Go ahead, put your clothes on. Walk me to the door. Slap me five." Walked out the door. Now the whole crowd is in line for autographs going to the bus.
Oh, my God.
Right?
You signed some.
You signed autographs.
Is this the greatest drunk history
ever?
Oh, my God. Jagoff, Pittsburgh.
Oh, my
God.
Yes. I feel like I can never.
This is award-winning.
This is like, well, Randall Park and Ed Helms apparently thought it was good, because he's now on Peacock with the story.
Oh, my God. Rick.
So I'm signing autographs all the way back and forth, all the way out. Rick Stagg. They don't know what it's saying.
Yeah.
I get all the way. The bus driver opens the bus door. Bus driver opens the bus. I step on a bus. All the stairs. Bradshaw's right in front of me. I said, "Are you all swear on here?"
Yeah.
Not the F word.
That was the best effing game I ever seen in my
perfect.
Life.
Perfect. Okay, good. Yeah. Right?
And they're all looking at me like, okay. And I stepped off the bus, and I went through the crowd, and everybody going, who's that? Who's that? Was that a steward? Was that a steward? I walked from here to across the street to the Winnebago, to my brothers. And they were on a bus, and they go, "Hey, Jagoff, why didn't you..." They're going, "Why don't you take us in there with you?" Well, it was spur of the moment. You should have been there.
Yeah.
Sorry for you.
Right.
Sorry for you.
And I said to my brother, I said, he goes, I told him the story. I just took a shower with Stewart. That's all. And he goes, "What?" He goes, "That's bullshit." I said, "Yeah? It's bullshit. Smell my hair." And I smell like Irish Spring soap, because I remember that's what they had in there, right?
Oh, my.
I think it was Perel and Irish Spring. And so... blah, blah, blah. My dad, we had to keep checking out my mom and dad. You know, it was payphones back then, 79. And so the next day, my brother called up to my dad. And he goes, he didn't say nothing about that, because he didn't really 100% believe it. Well, next thing you know, my dad said, "Hey, I don't know if you remember the article, Our Time Joe Brown." He used to write an article for here. And he wrote the story, but didn't have the name. Nobody knew who I was yet. And he goes, "You know, there was some guy that climbed in, took a shower with the Steelers and climbed in the stadium, blah, blah, blah." And he goes, "Son of a gun, that was Ricky. Ricky did that."
I love it.
Right?
How about that?
I mean, I don't, let's just shut the podcast down.
Yeah, there's nothing
what
else
other,
to
what
say.
Else, what's going
to
follow
know.
Then?
Today was the day to watch Facebook.
What I love is just starts it like it's any old
story.
Yes.
And that was a little hard to get into a 15-minute short film, which we were giving out money for. But
my God.
Right?
That's why we think it would be a fantastic feature. But, you know, what's amazing is how totally Pittsburgh, the entire.
Totally Pittsburgh.
They didn't pay for tickets.
Yes.
Not to out him, but my best friend growing up was Sean Flaherty, whose father was the mayor. First concert I ever go to, Carole King, Sean's, "Come here." Then we go to the side of the alley. Then suddenly some guy puts some chairs out. I'm like, "Is this an actual seat? Like, don't worry about it." I'm like, you know, it's so Pittsburgh the way they
so Pittsburgh.
The whole time. They're like,
Rick,
yeah,
one of
the
things.
And then, yeah.
Oh, my God. So it is a show. It is a movie. What?
Yeah,
so,
right now, it's.
Go ahead.
It's right now, I'm the premiere episode, the number one episode, and it's on Peacock.
On
this Peacock here, they're trying to, I guess, bring more people in for a Peacock.
Yeah.
But you can download my episode for free. There's three
it's
different
Ed Helms
ones.
And
Randall
Park. You know
who
Ed Randall
Helms
Park.
Is.
But
the
name of the show, one of us should find out the name of the show. What's
no,
it called?
It.
True Story.
True Story, yeah.
True Story.
I was in it.
Yeah, I know you're in it. Yeah, exactly. But the name of the show, you got to plug the name of the show. You know, he's very savvy media wise.
That is so crazy.
But we. He caught me off
but Ryan
guard.
O'Shea
like,
really wrote a terrific screenplay.
Yes.
Wow.
I actually should revive it now that we're it's getting back, because it really is. Well, it's really heartfelt. Is it? Yeah. It shows you how much Steeler fan. Yeah. You know, this is.
It's crazy.
Most people are going, yeah, I'd do that, of course. It would be a great, you know, tequila ad. Awesome.
No, no doubt about it. Yeah.
You know,
no
doubt
about it. Or for the Steve Fitters, just saying.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right. So, Carl, let's switch subjects for a second here, because now we know you guys know each other. And, Carl, you have brought.
You can't make that up.
You're right, right, you're right. It's now it's like trying to, you know, follow Louis Anderson on a stage after he's been up there, right? But this story is fantastic. But your stories are good, too, in the fact that you're helping bring production. And I always remember, like, costume designers and special effects people that were yinzers, and you're boomeranging them back here because they realize their companies can be here, right?
Well, it's partly that, but really what's happening, and it's really simple. When I moved back here for a year by accident, you know, I left Pittsburgh. My mother ran away from home to be an actress in New York because talent couldn't stay here, and I talked to Billy Porter about this. You know, it's great that people celebrate them when they leave, but try putting money in. When I met George Romero, no one would back his movies, so his zombies left.
Right.
So to me, you know, I've been talking to the foundation communities and people at Lionsgate and otherwhere who have Pittsburgh ties, and we're saying people love shooting in Pittsburgh. You know, we have great crews, we have great locations, but the truth is you need to train people. And as you just said in your Pittsburgh Hollywood, I heard your podcast, how do people get a start? So luckily, University of Pittsburgh is our biggest employer, and they've started to really take film seriously and media. And so they now have a great film studies program. They have a $12 million TV studio. And on top of that, a lot of what I used to be doing, now we are reaching out to the community. And so right now what we're doing is something called the Pitch Competition, where we're going to give away two awards, $5,000 to the writers. We're looking for short film scripts. And then we're going to have people from high school on up training in positions working alongside professionals. I'll have to call Chris Strollo and other people of that caliber, because you've got to apprentice. So we're going to do a series of workshops. We just did one yesterday with K.O. Yagan as a writer, director, producer from This Is Us. Mm-hmm. She did the episode with Mr. Rogers. She's amazing. My former student, Kalichi. Sold a pilot called I Need Black Friends to Andy Samberg's company, but she works on Stars. Mm-hmm. And she was just there, and a woman named Sujata Day, who was from Greensburg. She did a movie called Definition Please.
I just saw that.
People should watch it. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is all these people are looking for diverse voices, because particularly in Pittsburgh, there's so many different stories. So from February 15th to March 15th, anyone can submit. Just go to creative.pitt.edu, and they can submit their stories. And more importantly, each month we'll start be training people on camera, sound, lighting, costume design, art direction. And we're going to tell people from high school on up, this is what the jobs are. Because unless people know in high school, like, I can do this, and realize steam fitter, a lot of these trades, the union, if there's still union jobs, we've got great union people here, but we need entry-level pathways, particularly from the high schools to places like Pitt. And then to the industry. And you don't have to go to Pitt, but, you know, the truth of the matter is,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And well, when Pitt got involved in medicine, you know, my first movie I did was about Jonas Salk.
Right, Jonas Salk.
This was not a big. Right. And then I did one on Tom Starzl. Pittsburgh really didn't take off till we were the transplant capital.
Yeah.
So similarly, it's the same people who did that, the Mellon Foundation and other people, the Hillmans and other people along the way who backed this idea of trying to build a real entertainment workforce here. So it's not just, oh, you know who's from Pittsburgh, but, and people love shooting here. And frankly, Sujata wants to make her next movie here. Mindy Kaling just produced her last one. But I've been saying all along, you know, I've been talking to Billy Porter for like 10 years, like, why aren't people putting money in into you? And now, of course, other people are betting on them and making a lot, but, you know, we really need to start betting on our own talent here and developing our talent.
And as we've heard from Don Keyser in the past, that we have really good talent. Movies come here because apparently we have
the greatest
people.
Crews, great locations, great work ethic.
Yeah.
But frankly, you know, Atlanta now in 2018, they had $9 billion in 1 year.
Wow.
We've had $1 billion since we've started, and Don has helped a lot with this. But the truth of the matter is, until we build it's a catch-22. If we don't have more local jobs, then you can't justify having a higher tax credit and vice versa. So my hope is, I'm getting older, but we're trying to say in the next 5 years, if Pittsburgh did this right, we could be certainly like Atlanta and New York. We're already one of the best places to shoot. People love shooting here, but we run out of tax credits. So.
All right, so let's switch subjects. The website again, which...
Just go to creative.pitt.edu. It's part of the Center of Creativity at Pitt. and the film studies program.
Got
but
it.
That'll just look for Pitch,
which we'll put in the
P-I-T-T-C-H.
Yep.
And you know, you can find information. And on February 24th, we'll have our next workshop on camera, lighting, and sound. It's free. People can come, learn about it, and then those who qualify can apply for paid positions that we're going to do over the summer. You'll get training, and then you'll get to be paid to work on these sets if you go through the different things. But at least you'll know what the pathway is.
Got it.
That's where I learned to write scripts.
It is. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And that is a great point. It's anybody. It doesn't have to be your field. It's, hey, I have this unique.
Well, yeah, the big problem I have the same problem. We had this great African-American doctor who we had on the other day. And she's amazing. She's an emergency room physician. She's doing a zillion things. She has a great story. But also writing scripts. Sometimes you have a great story like
this.
Yes,
right.
And so people have to work together and find great stories. And what we really want to tell are these unique Pittsburgh stories. We're not just looking for – if you can tell it somewhere else, tell it somewhere else. But Pittsburgh has so many great stories.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to do, you know, this summer.
But in the meantime, where does everybody find you so they can know all these amazing things?
Well, I mean, me personally, I have a website, carlkurlander.com. But in terms of Pitt, if they look at the center of creativity.pitt.edu, that's a lot of what I'm doing there. But, you know, I'm – got a zillion projects going on, and actually Louis was always involved. That's one of the things I did. I moved back here and wrote a book with Louis. And,
oh my God, I can't wait to hear this.
And
you, we can see this on Peacock.
You can see this on Peacock, or you can watch me in Southpaw. I was in that movie, and Foxcatcher. That's how Pittsburgh is here. I got picked to play a couple parts in there.
That's amazing.
Just by
and this new show with Ed Helm is, I mean, that's I've heard about. So check it out on Peacock. We'll obviously put the link in the show notes, but it's called True Story, so that's pretty cool. So I can't thank you guys enough. We have a question of the day, though.
Sure.
This is our fun question of the day. Since we're in the Brighton Heights area and we've talked about, you know, the gentleman who owned the facility that John is going to join, right? California Cycle Path.
Yes.
If you could film a movie with anybody, who would it be?
What do you mean, a movie with anybody?
Anybody. Just any next
actor,
movie.
Director?
No, you're going to act in it. You're going to act in it.
Well, this is so confusing because, you know, if
it's not. It's easy.
I know, maybe you go to him. Well, because Emilio Estevez played me in the movie, and he's now kind of totally, like, that was like a stalker.
Emilio!
Emilio and I are good friends, but he's like, dude, I was totally playing a stalker. You were a stalker. And I'm like, no, I'm friends with this girl. So, you know, I've had this experience before. I'm a little nervous about
it.
I know. It's like, and you know, kind of.
Oh, it's funny.
And, you know, meanwhile, you know, ironically, Emilio wanted to play the Rob Lowe part. And Rob is from Ohio and is a great guy, too. So I don't know. I don't think
how
Rob Lowe's playing
these
my
names? You don't understand.
Johnny Angel and the Halos. Let's just drop a name just to be in competition.
I have no idea. So
if you're asking me, Antoine Fuqua.
Ah.
Yeah, I think that, you know, his movie, when he did Southpaw, I just watched him directing with Jake Gyllenhaal. And Jake Gyllenhaal, at moments, it wasn't easy. We were in the ring for, I was probably in there 12 hours for three rounds.
Oh, wow.
Because Jake didn't like the way he was doing it. So, and finally, Antoine got a little frustrated, and I said, that's it. We got it.
Wow.
And I would have to say Moneyball, Bennett Miller.
Okay.
You know, and the other one would be Ron Howard because
who just watched Moneyball?
He did Cinderella Man.
Yeah,
that's a story.
Yeah,
really
I heard
thought
that's
this through. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, he did
much better answers than I do. Yeah.
No. All right, we're gonna wrap this up because this was seriously maybe one of my favorite podcasts
this
ever.
Is
I've
the
never
best
learned
story
as,
ever told on our
ever.
Podcast.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
You totally can name your podcast after that story.
No. Right, John. Thanks to everybody, but we got to get our musicians.
Yeah, we got to get our musicians
play us out.
Carl, thank you, Rick. Thank you so much. This was fantastic.
How do we even thank everybody at this point? Because I feel like this is our Academy Award.
Right.
So thanks, obviously, and as always, to Colin and Tracy for helping us out. Thanks to John and Larry for hosting us, and to Lauren for coming on and telling us about their amazing business. Thanks to Joe, we got to learn a little bit more about Brighton Heights. And thanks to Steel Kitty because they seriously bring us the best. This is one of my favorite musicians as well.
Yeah,
so
how about
I think
that?
Yeah, Old Whitetail might be your favorite. John, as I said, you're like in love with this sound, right?
I love the sound. Yeah.
Thanks to Carl Kurlander and thanks to Ryan O'Shea for bringing us the story of Rick Steigerwald.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. And definitely check out the Peacock story of True Story.
All right,
I did it all. I did it all.
Oh yeah.
And thanks to People's Gas for this.
Are we going to ask Alexis how we find her on social media and ask her the question of the day? How do they find you on social media?
If you look up Old Whitetail, it's O-L, and then underscore whitetail, like the deer, all one word. That's my Instagram. That's the one I use most. I'm awesome. Old Whitetail on Facebook, and if you go to oldwhitetail.com.
All right. Our question of the day was if you could do something with anybody in the world, living or dead,
well, who would you do it with? Well, she's in the music industry, right?
So if you could write or sing a song with anybody living or dead, who would it be?
Nina Simone.
And who is that?
That's
what
I thought. Nina Simone. She's a jazz musician, pianist, singer.
Yeah. I thought it was a pig piss.
Awesome answer. You're going to play us out. I'll quickly say thanks to Roark Honda, who has a tracking process in which you receive your vehicle in a timely manner. And what better customer service than what they give? Visit Roark.com for all of your vehicle needs. And thanks to People's Gas for presenting this.
I wasn't born to travel, I was born to run away. Any place I end up, I probably won't stay. But I wasn't born to break hearts, I was born to love. I'm just looking for the drifter to join me on the run. And after everyone I left, you think I would give up? Swallow some old pill that says the restless do not love. After I've been hurt, you think I'd hesitate to trust? But you could be the drifter to join me on the run. Wasn't born to need you every waking hour of the day. I was born to want you exactly this way. And I wasn't born to settle like a footprint in cement. I was born a bobcat and I'm wild as I can get. And after everyone I left, you think I would give up? Swallow some old pill that says the restless do not love. After I've been hurt, you think I'd hesitate to trust? But you could be the drifter to join me on the run. After everyone I left, you think I would give up? But I'm looking for the drifter to join me on the run. I'm looking for the drifter to join me on the run. I'm looking for the drifter to join me on the run.
Amazing.